Good morning. Today's Daf Mabam Siyas Ayin Beis. We're in Ayin Aleph Amud Beis 71B. We are starting towards the top of the Amud Tana Rabban. We are going to go over the last point of the Mishnah. Quick reminder, as we are here in the fifth parak of the Masechta, and lending with interest is an Isser of the Torah. So as we've now been discussing for about a week and a half now. We're almost done with the fifth parak. So basic distinction to be made between lending between Jew to Jew versus Jew to non-Jew. If loans occur between Jew to Jew, so no interest can be charged, as we've been now been discussing for a week and a half. It's an Isser, could be an Isser min HaTorah, could be an Isser min HaRabbanan, depending on how the loan is structured, as we've been discussing extensively. However, between Jew and non-Jew, so it's mutter. So now when I say mutter, by the way, I do want to show a little bit of reservation, because the Gemara that we saw yesterday do suggest that there may be an idea that there is an Isser d'Rabbanan, there is a consideration, there is a concern. But if I may, just for our purposes today, keep it nice and simple. So let us say that it is mutter to lend between Jew and non-Jew, even with interest. And presumably it wouldn't matter which direction we're going. Meaning if the non-Jew is a lender and the Jew is a borrower, that's mutter. If the Jew is a lender and the non-Jew is a borrower, that's also mutter. Okay. Good. So that is a basic distinction to be made. Okay, good. Now with that stated, so we go back to our Mishnah. Now our Mishnah says that a Mal Yisrael, Ma'asov Shol Nachri, Midas Anachri. So now if what I'm doing is I'm lending a non-Jew's money and I'm doing it with his consent, so there are three people involved. In other words, we have over here two Jews and a non-Jew. Okay, it sounds like the beginning of a really bad joke, but we have three people now involved. And so what I'm going to do now is that I'm going to be servicing. I will be representing the non-Jew, and the Mishnah said that if I'm doing so, midas anachri, if I'm doing so with his consent, basically I'm operating as an agent, so that's going to be fine, said the Mishnah. But if I'm not operating as an agent, so that's not going to be fine. Okay, so there is some sort of distinction being made in the Mishnah in terms of how I'm operating. And obviously making that distinction is going to bear the difference whether it's going to be mutter or asr. Good. Now all we need to do, that's the easy part. Here comes the hard part. Now all we have to do is understand that distinction. Okay, when is it okay, when is it not okay? So Tanu Rabbanan. So that's where we begin today. So we're in Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Sorry, let's do that again. We're in Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We're at the top of the Amud Tanu Rabbanan. So here we have a Brisa. Now what the Brisa is going to do is the Brisa is going to speak it out a little bit clearer. Okay, progression of today's daf in terms of charting is that we're going to learn a brisa together. The brisa is going to make that distinction between how I am serving as the middleman. And we're going to go, and the brisa over here is going to go in both directions, where the non-Jew is going to be the lender and the other Jew is going to be the borrower, and we're going to flip it around as well. We're going to go over both cases. Even after we read the brisa, we're going to still need more clarification because, whatever, you'll see. We'll need more clarification. The Gemara is going to give, get ready, five different approaches in terms of how to understand it. Good. And that'll bring us to today's daf. And in today's daf, we're going to go over more on this topic. But this is really, it's a big sugya, and I admit it's a little bit complicated, but let's try. Let's work our way through. So, Tanu Rabbanan, Mal v'Yisrael. Mal v'Yisrael, Ma'osav Shol Nachri, Midas Anachri, Avalo Midas Yisrael. Okay. So the Brisa opens up basically the same way the Mishnah did. And that is that if I'm operating with his das, that's great. And again, I want to be as clear as possible because there are three people involved in this transaction. His meaning the guy. So if I'm operating with the guy's das, that's fine. But if I'm not operating with his das, so then it's not fine. Ketzad. So now let's spell this out. How does this play out? See, Yisrael Shalava, Maos Min Anachri Beribis. So now, a Jew borrowed money from a non-Jew. Good. So over here, we're having the non-Jew as the lender. And ubikish lachzrim lo. And now what he wanted to do is, hey, it's time to pay you back. So matzi so achir v'amr lo. So now, it happens to be that I found another Jew. And the Jew says to the borrower, so to namely, and he says, do me a favor. So give it to me. And what I'll end up doing now is I'll end up paying the non-Jew. So in other words, lend me the money and I'll end up paying the non-Jew. So that's going to be Aser. Now, the reason why that's going to be Aser is because effectively what just happened is that as long as the money is in the hands of the Lova and it has not been paid back to the Malva, again, in the ratio, the Malva is the non-Jew. The lender's a non-Jew. So the money has not yet been paid back. So now what we're looking at over here is we are transacting money between Jew to Jew. And we have not done so with the approval or the authority of the non-Jew. So effectively what I just did is that I just lent him money with interest. And therefore, under those circumstances, it's going to be usur. Now, as you're thinking about this case, so there really is effectively there has been no profit involved, because now as our new Jew who's been introduced to this case, so as he has now received the money, so effectively he's going to be paying back the non-Jew all of the money. So admittedly he hasn't gained, but it doesn't matter. In other words, the point is that over here, this transaction is between Jew and Jew. It includes ribbis, and therefore it's going to be Auser.
It's going to be out of case from yesterday.
Yeah, right. Correct. This, right. Another emphasis of the idea that ribbis does not necessarily mean that one is going to necessarily gain. Right. It happens to be, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the Perek, so the Gemara really tried to wrap its head around this idea. I mean, does ribbis necessarily need a winner and a loser? But the Braisa says, Yimi, he made a tzornachim mutter. However, so the, if let's say the, before the borrower turns to the other Jew and says to him, here's the money, what he does is he turns to the non-Jew and he says, hey, hamidu etzornachri. Now, hamidu etzornachri does not necessarily mean that he gave it back to the non-Jew, because as the Gemara itself is going to point out, if he gave the money back to the non-Jew, and now we're looking at a totally new loan between non-Jew and our third party, so then obviously that would be fine. It just simply means that basically I'm now looking to the non-Jew for approval. I'm ready to pay you back the money. Can I take your money now and hand it to the third party? So the Mishnah says, sorry, the Braisa says that would be mutter. Good. So far we just introduced the case over here, explaining our Mishnah with a little more clarity, a little bit, in terms of What's the distinction between lending without the approval of the non-Jew versus with the approval of the non-Jew? V'chein. Now what we're going to do is we're going to flip it around. Nechishalav amaz mitzral beribis. So over here, the lender is going to be the Jew. And the borrower is going to be the non-Jew. And uvikish lachzurim lamat yisrael achav amalao tenem livani alach gederach shata malali mutter. So over here, where the Nachri now turns to another person, a third party, and says to the third party, give it to me, and I'll give it to you, just like, in other words, I'll pay him back. So then, so mutter. The imamido eitzel Yisrael aser. However, if he's doing so with the consent and with the authority of the Yisrael, so then it's going to be aser. Okay, now, over here, we have two cases laid out in the Braisa, where effectively we are taking money and we are just simply transferring the debt from one person to another. So again, because of the basic distinction between Jew to Jew, usur, Jew to non-Jew, mutter. Okay, so now this transaction is involving three parties, and am I serving as an agent, yes or no? If I'm serving as an agent, so then I have to look at the two ends of that transaction. If I'm not serving as an agent, so then I'm just looking at me and you. Okay? Hopefully that was a little bit clear in terms of how to see this.
We have this issue with people even signing as a witness into a loan, having issues with that. It's not acceptable.
That's unacceptable when it's Jew to Jew. But when it's Jew to non-Jew, it's fine. This is Jew to non-Jew. It's fine. So, Bishlama Seifa. So the Gemara says now, in the second half of the Mishnah, so Luchamra. So the Gemara says, so in that regard, I understand. Meaning, when we have a non-Jew, is there an idea of shlichus by non-Jew? The answer is no. No. There is no shlichus by non-Jew. Shlichus is only an idea, an entity that exists in Yahadus. Okay. I understand, by the way, in their courts, in their world, they do have power of attorney and they do have agency. But in other words, but as far as halacha is concerned, halacha does not recognize their shlichus. Okay. So the Gemara says, but nevertheless, so meaning in the second half of the braisa, so we're going to be machmir. That part I get. But Ella Resha ain't shlichus anachri. Kevin ain't shlichus anachri. Iu niyud de kashaka mine ribsa. So the Gemara says, but here's where we're going to get stuck, and that's going to be the first case of the braisa. Again, first case of the braisa, the non-Jew's a lender. Non-Jew's a lender, and now I am the borrower. I am a Jew who is a borrower. Let's give myself a name. I'm Reuven. And now along comes Shimon, and Shimon says to me, hey, do me a favor. Instead of paying back the non-Jew, so let me go ahead and borrow the money. And what did we learn in the first half of the braisa? What we learned the first half of the braisa is I'm doing so as an agent of the non-Jew. So that would be fine. And here's where the Gemara is now just losing it. Right? Not, I don't understand. Meaning fine? What do you mean fine? Only because we're looking at Reuven as an agent of the non-Jew, we're saying it's fine, but there is no agency when it comes to Jew, non-Jew. In other words, the halacha doesn't recognize the agency. And if halacha doesn't recognize the agency, what effectively are we looking at? We're looking at a loan between two Jews with interest. It should be usur.
But is it his money that he's lending?
It's his money. He just, in other words, it's his money. He owes. He has a debt, but it's his money.
It's really just an innumerable loan.
Yep. Okay. Good. So the Gemara says so the Gemara is just losing it. Because over here, there is no shlichus when it comes to Jew and non-Jew. And so over here, the Bryce is telling us that, oh, but because I'm representing the non-Jew, so as a result of that, so then it's going to be mutter. The Gemara says, how could that be? So to that now, as I pointed out, now we went through the Braisa. We saw the various permutations in the Braisa. But in the first half of the Braisa, we're going to be makel because of shlichus. And meanwhile, there is no entity of shlichus. Okay, so now we have the problem presented. The Gemara is going to give five different approaches in terms of how to deal with it. Approach number one. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Manoch Mishmei de Ravacha Berei de Ravika Hachem Amayis Kedin Kegonda Amar Lehi Nichem Al Gabe Karka Vihi Pater. Okay, so over here, now you understand what the Gemara is trying to avoid. The Gemara is trying to avoid where Reuven just simply hands back the money to the non-Jew. If the money's handed back to the non-Jew, so then obviously. Now our next loan is going to be a totally new loan between non-Jew and Shimon. So meaning, although that's true, but that doesn't explain the Braisa. Because the Braisa is talking about where the money is handed from Reuven to Shimon directly, where Reuven now is acting as a agent of the non-Jew. Of course, the problem is that ain't shlichus. So we're trying to thread the needle of how can it be that there's no shlichus, and yet the money that Reuven's given to Shimon is the non-Jew's money. We're trying to thread that needle. So approach number one is that what I did is I put it on the ground and I said to the non-Jew, come and collect it. So effectively now, although I didn't hand it to him, I have basically forfeited the money over to the non-Jew.
But it's not on his property, though.
Yes, correct. So he nicham, correct. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara says, but once I forfeit the money, so even though, right, correct, he hasn't acquired it, but at this point in time, it's not my money anymore. And so if it's not mine, it belongs to somebody. So the Gemara says, at that point in time, I think it's obvious. So the Gemara says, so Ella, Amar Papa, Kagon, Shenatov, and Asim Biyad. So the Gemara says, when the Braisa says, Hamidu Eitzel Nachri, it means that the money took it, the non-Jew took the money from me, Reuven, and hand it over to Shimon. The Gemara says, okay, Akati Ma'ala Meimra. The Gemara says, that's fine. Now I'm still wondering, now there's no chiddush whatsoever. So the Gemara says, maybe I would have thought, just to explain this chiddush a little bit better, is I would have thought that maybe the non-Jew is just doing it strictly on my behest. And as a result of that, it effectively is a loan between Jew and Jew. So answer number one of the Gemara, effectively question, how does it work? How does it work where? The lender's a non-Jew and the borrower's a Jew and his name is Reuven. And now Reuven is going to pass debt along over to Shimon. Now again, it's debt with interest. That's usur. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if he does so with the non-Jew's consent, approval, midato, so then it's going to be fine. And we don't understand because, what do you mean I do it with his consent? I can't serve as an agent. How does that work? So approach number one of the Gemara is that I'm not acting as an agent in as much as he's actually taking the money from me and handing it to him. Oh, okay. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Now what's the Chiddush? And the Gemara's response is, the Chiddush is that maybe I would have thought that although he took the money from me, but he understands that this is what I wanted. Okay, that is all approach number one. Approach number two of the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar, Ki Amin En Shlichus Anachri, Hani Mila B'Chum Aval, Ava B'Chol HaTorah Kula, Yeh Shlichus Anachri. Okay, yeah, right, interesting. So Rav Ashi, it makes the following attempt, and that is, well, it could very well be that maybe this idea that non-Jews are excluded from Shlichus, that's only a Truma Halacha. But when it comes to the rest of the Kol HaTorah Kula, so maybe it does work. So the and where do we learn out shlichus? So we learn it out from truma. Okay, second paragraph of kedushin, right? The right fundamental gemaras in terms of shlichus, and that could be it. Meaning that could be the that could be a limited drasha, and it is not a drasha that affects kol haTorah kula. Okay, now it is interesting, and the gemara immediately rejects this. But Rav Ashi Barusa, Rav Ashi's position is Barusa. Now Barusa could just. Whenever you see this, it could mean one of two things. Either, and it depends on the girsa. So we have in our Gemara the word berusa. Berusa means it's external, right? From the word bara, right? Brisa. Brisa means it's external, right? Mishnayos are, okay, I'll say it a little strong, but Mishnayos are canon, and brisas are a little bit out there. Now, I say a little bit out there, by the way. Brisas are part and parcel of Torah, right? Just, I'm saying it only relatively speaking. But the word itself, bara, means outside. So over here, this suggestion of Rav Ashi, berusahi. And what you're going to do is you're going to keep it outside the base medrash. It doesn't have a place in the base medrash. In other words, it's not an acceptable position. Okay, that's one possibility. Or the other one is bedusa with a dalet. Bedusa with a dalet means that it was a joke, a fiction, a humor. In other words, but not to be taken seriously. Either way, however you want to translate it, it comes out to the same point, and that is, this is not an accepted position. So, Maishna Truma Delo Dichsev Atem Gamatem.
We're back to
Einschlich. Yeah, correct. Meaning, correct. The Gemara immediately, Rav Ashi threw it out there, and the Gemara immediately rejected it. So the Gemara says, Atem Gamatem Ma'atem B'nei Bris, Avshuchachem B'nei Bris. So, Shichus Echol HaTorah Kula Nami Mishuma Gamrin Allah. So Ella de Rav Ashi Barusi, the Gemara says, no, when we have a limud from Truma, it's a limud for Kol HaTorah Kula, period. And this suggestion of Rav Ashi will make a distinction, it does not have a place in the base medrash. Igad Amri Amri Rav Ashi, Ki Amrina, Nein Shichus Anachri Hanimili, Inu Lididan, Ava Anan Lididu, Ava Nulu Shlichus. Now, in another version, we're going to do this again, but another way to cut the pie. And that is, right, to thread the needle. And that is that maybe I know we say that there's no shlichus by a guy. That's if he's acting as my agent. But maybe it would be totally acceptable, halacha would recognize, if I, the Jew, am acting as his agent. Maybe we can make such a distinction. Again, the Gemara says that was a nice try, but no. Had Rav Ashi Barusahi, Maishna, Inu Lididan Delo Dichsiva, Tem Gamatem, The Rabbi Shuchachem, so Ma'ata b'nei bris, Av Shuchachem b'nei bris, Anan, Lididu Nami, Ma'atem b'nei bris, Kamar, Elahad Rav Ashi Barusahi. So the Gemara says no. In other words, once again, Shlichus has to operate in both directions. It is a two-way street. And just like he can't serve as my Shlichus, I cannot serve as his Shlichus. So in one of two different ways, Rav Ashi attempted to answer the question of, I thought there was no Shlichus by a guy. Maybe there is, says Rav Ashi. The Gemara says, no, there is not. And in one of two ways, Rav Ashi tried to make a distinction, either between Truma and the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara says, we'll reject that. Or maybe a distinction to be made between whether I'm serving as his shliach versus him serving as my shliach. And again, the Gemara rejects that as well. Ravina Amar, we are now up to I'll call Rav Ashi right. Well, Rav Ashi is one and two and three, if you will. Ravina Amar, Nihida Shichus Anachri Laisle, Zechimah Derabban Nisle. Okay, so maybe there would be no Shlichus, says Ravina. I mean, not maybe, there is no Shlichus. Right? We've established. Jew and non-Jew, so there's no entity of shlichus. It simply is not a halachic reality. But maybe zechia. So the maybe I could be zochah on his behalf. So the and the Gemara admits, by the way, that the zechia over here would be operating midrabanan. Now zechia, by the way, is very similar to shlichus. Okay, the difference, the subtle difference between zechia versus shlichus, is that But when it comes to shlichus, I am representing you. In other words, right, you're not here, but you give me power of attorney, and I'm going to represent you. That's shlichus. When it comes to zechia, I'm going to acquire something for you on your behalf. But in other words, not because I'm your agent, but simply because I want to benefit you. Okay, and I admit, it's a subtle distinction, but there is a distinction to be made. And so what the Gemara now is proposing, what Ravina is proposing, is that, look, there is no shlichus, but maybe zechia. So that what I can now do is I can accept it on your behalf. Zach la'adam. And afilu shelo b'fanav. And so maybe that's what's going on over here.
But there's no chiyud associated with it. There's no risk.
Right, correct. In other words, zach la'adam shelo b'fanav, but only when, right, there's no chov whatsoever. So over here, let's assume, I mean, you know, I'm getting somebody's money. The Gemara says, this distinction now between shlichus and zechia. Don't we find it by katan? Now we know there's no shlichus by katan. In other words, in order for there to be shlichus, you have to have people with das. Katan does not have das. So I know there's no shlichus when it comes to katan. And isle zechia midrabanan. And yet, there is a possibility for zechia when it comes to a katan. So, okay. And over here, right? The Gemara Kedushin. I'll tell you what. Let's skip the thought. Let's work on the daf. Okay. So velohi. So Yisrael asil lechlal shlichus. Ovi kocham lo asil lechlal shlichus. Okay. So the Gemara says once again this suggestion of Ravina. So the Gemara does not love the suggestion of Ravina because another distinction that we can make between a katan and a guy. When it comes to a katan, yes, there's zechia. Yes, you're correct. You could be zocha on behalf of a katan. That's true. But with a katan, however, the katan currently has no das, but he's got a great prognosis. In other words, right, he's going to have das. He's asi lidei lechlal shlichus. So because we can forecast that over here he's going to grow up and he will have das and he will enter to the world of shlichus. So at this stage, even though he is without das, but nevertheless, the chachamim can go ahead and award him zechia midrabanan. Mashi enkin, when it comes to a guy, so when is a guy going to have shlichus? The answer is never. So over here, if the guy is never going to have shlichus, so then the chachamim never award him zechia. Okay. So this suggestion of Ravina, the Gemara does not like as well. Okay, and Adkan, I'm sorry, I said five. Okay, I'd like to resubmit in four different suggestions of the Gemara in terms of how to understand the Braisa. So, where are we right now? We have just finished the first part of today's daf, and we have just went over where I owe a guy money. He is the lender, I'm the borrower. I know we also did the other case as well, but just in terms of a review. So I lent the guy money. I borrowed money from the guy. I borrowed with interest. You're allowed to do so. And now the Torah says that I have to pay him back and I have to pay him back with interest. And now, what if I then transfer that debt over to somebody else? And he now accepts the debt with the understanding that he's going to be paying back the guy. So under those circumstances, am I allowed to do that? I just lent money to another Jew with interest. And in the Braisa, a distinction whether or not I'm serving as his agent or I'm not serving as his agent. If I'm serving as his agent, that's fine. If I'm not serving as his agent, so then that would be Usur. That's what we learned together in the Braisa. And the Gemara's question is, wait one second. There is no shlichus when it comes to a guy. How can I be serving as his agent? I can't be serving as his agent. The Torah does not recognize shlichus when it comes to a guy. That's the question. The Gemara gave four possible ways of how to answer it. When you shake it out, however, of those four answers, the Gemara did not like three of them. So really it comes down to one basic answer of the Gemara, and that is that the guy took the money from me, handed it to the other Jew. Not some biyad. Okay. Which effectively...
So you're just bypassing this. You're not solving the problem. You're just bypassing the circumstances.
Right. Correct. In other words, what then becomes the chiddush of the entire discussion? Right. That's a good point. Okay, we continue.
It must be a lot of issues in this day and age. Borrowing and credit cards.
Correct.
On somebody else's name.
Right.
Somebody else is to buy a house and doesn't have money.
Right.
Mine is no good.
Correct.
Pay back bank. So forth and so on. Same.
Okay. Ten Rabbani Yisrael Shalav Amosman and Nachri Beriz Zaken Alav Memilva Vinis Gayer. Okay. Now we turn to another aspect of Goy, Jew, transaction, loan, interest. This one is fascinating, and this one. So I borrowed from a non-Jew, and I borrowed with interest, and now Zaken Alav Memilva. Okay. This is a term that we're going to see throughout Shas. And I have to admit, in concept, I understand it. Practically speaking, it's a little bit challenging. Okay, if I can, by the way, okay, I told you, right? If you're a frequent listener, you heard this already from me, but it's okay, right? I think genetically, every Jew is hardwired to either become an accountant or open up a restaurant. Those are my I think it's just like, in other words, we're born to do one of those two things, and it's just do we fight the nature and end up doing something else in life? Okay, what's it called? It's a profundity. So over here, I'm going to now ask everyone to take out their accounting minds, okay? And that is the following, and that is that. When I take a look at a loan with interest, so basically there are two line items, right? There's the principal, and then there's the interest. Okay, and now when I borrow from a Jew, so that's usser. I mean, the principal is fine. It's the interest that becomes problematic. Usser, more than problematic. Okay, good. And when I borrow from a non-Jew, so then that's mutter. Okay, but in other words, but there are two lines. What if we're able now to take those two lines and to consolidate it into one line? Okay, that is zakfen alav b'milveh. Okay, and that is that there can come a point in time when those two can be consolidated into one. Okay, good. Now, when perfect. So, when exactly does that happen? How can we do that? So, when it's Jew to Jew, so it can never happen. Meaning, as long as the loan involved interest, so we can't consolidate the two into one because the Torah just simply understands that I borrowed money from him with interest. At a later point in time, we consolidated all that into one line item. The Torah doesn't care. Meaning, the Torah is just simply saying, look, you can't do that. But when it's Jew to non-Jew, where the transaction is a legitimate transaction, so can now we take those two line items and consolidate into one? Yes. Now, but Reb Lifshitz wants to know, how do we do that? So Rashi over here writes, we could take a look at Rashi, right in our daf. Rashi writes that what we're going to do is that we're going to write a new note. Okay? The original note had it as, right, I'm going to be here's the loan here's the principal of the loan, and here's going to be the interest. And now I don't know what motivated us to do so. Right, in other words, I'm not sure what the context is, but in other words, at a later point in time, right, well, you borrowed 100, you owe me 120. At a later point in time, we just write up a new note for 120. Okay, that's Rashi right here in our daf. Okay. Again, if it were between Jew to Jew, it doesn't matter that we write up a new note. In other words, you can't separate the fact that there was principal and there was interest. But Jew to non-Jew, you could do so. So, with that in mind, say beautiful. And now we did that. So what we did is that we took those two line items, we consolidated to one line item, and then he converted. So, if the consolidation occurred before he converted, so then, legitimately, now you can pay him the 120 after conversion. But that extra 20 was interest? No.
By consolidation, basically, the ribbis is getting wiped out, right?
It becomes unified. It becomes jointed now together with the principal.
It's being reclassified.
Mm-hmm.
It's being reclassified.
Correct.
But it was originally ribbis.
Correct. But it's mutter ribbis. Meaning again, it was Jew to non-Jew. It's mutter ribbis. So now that we write it up as a new note, so now it can be reclassified. It can be. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. I understand it's a chiddush, but that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Now, but if there's
the... What's the point of doing it?
Okay, good. So whatever the point was, that's I'm admitting. I don't know contextually why we ended up rewriting the obligation. I don't know, but it happened. Perfect. Perfect. But it happened.
You're also, you know, so and the lender is converting from a non-Jew to Jew, right?
Right.
So
the two converse.
Right, correct. Very well done. Very well done. We're converting the loan. We're converting the person. So im koshin is guy zak fun alav bimilva govas a kerem govas a ribis. And im lachashin is guy zak fun alav bimilva govas a kerem vein a govas a ribis. Okay, good. So the zakifa can be done pre-conversion. The zakifa cannot be done post-conversion. Okay. It's a lot to digest, but when you think about it, good. I hear it. Now, v'chein achrish shalav amos mitzvah beribus v'zaken alav b'milva v'nizgayer. So, im ashalon nizgayer zakfen alav b'milva govas akarim v'govas aribus. And im ishin nizgayer zakfen alav b'milva govas akarim v'ina govas aribus. Now, over here, we're going to do the exact same thing with a non-Jew is borrowing from a Jew. And once again, if consolidation occurs before conversion, fine. If consolidation occurs after conversion, you can only collect principal, not interest. Okay. Now, here's where it gets interesting. So far, so good. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nachrish Lav Amos Mitzvah Beribis. Let's say the non-Jew actually borrowed money from a Jew with interest. Ben Kach Uvein Kach, Goves a Karen V'Goves a Ribis. So according to Rabbi Yossi, I do not care. When consolidation occurs, you can always collect the interest. Why would that be? Why would Rabbi Yossi say that? So the Gemara's explanation. So first of all, Amar Rav Chis, Amar Rav Hun, Halachik Rabbi Yossi. So first of all, the Halach is like Rabbi Yossi. That's point number one. Point number two, Amar Rav Amai Tamid Rabbi Yossi Kedei Shalo Yamru Bishlo Ma'osav Niskayir Zeh. Oh, so pragmatic. And what's behind the sheet of Rabbi Yossi? Gemara explains. Rav explains. Behind Rabbi Yossi is the idea that, you know, when people convert, we want them to convert for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. Right, you can't convert. I'm going to say it simply now, even though I know how complicated all this gets. You can't convert for marriage. You can't convert for money. You can't convert for power. Right, the Gemara's in Yevamos. They deal with this extensively. And so over here, consider the following, and that is that right now he owes money, and let's say the interest is not just a small bite, but the interest is a pretty big bite. But if I convert and I become a Jew and I'm only going to be obligated the principal, not the interest. Ooh, let's do that. Let's do that. And so what Rav Yossi is telling us is that we can understand how if he gets a pass of having to pay the interest, and that now is a motivator for him to convert, we don't want that to be a motivator for conversion. And so therefore, Rav Yossi will tell you that the halacha will be that regardless of whether or not the zakifa was done before or after conversion, he's still going to be chayav on the interest. Why? Because we don't want that forgiveness to be motivating him to convert.
Jew, how is that allowed to take rivers? But he converted. He's a Jew.
Yeah. So, okay, good. Okay. That's such a good question. I also have been, as I've been going over the Gemara, preparing the Gemara, I also was wondering, in other words, what allows him to do so. I'm guessing. The Gemara doesn't say. I'm guessing it's a Hefker based in Hefker where the Chachamim have this kind of power. But I'm not satisfied with my answer. Your question, I still think is good, and I don't know. Now, let's leave it at that. But I understand what's motivating the chachamim. Yeah. I understand the motivation, but how does it work? Okay, let's see. It's good. Okay. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we are on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, where we're pretty much in the middle of the Amud. And shtar shekasabo ribis konso oso ve'inu govelos akem velos ribis divrei mimer v'chachamim omrim govis akem ve'inu govis ribis. And here we get to now, in the fifth parak of Bava Metzia, when discussing ribis, one of the fundamental sugyas over here, and that is, so let's say we did contract a loan with interest, shouldn't have done it, Jew to Jew. Okay, we're done with the sugyas of the non-Jew. We're not done, but effectively, we're done. And now, Jew to Jew, and we constructed a loan, and it's with interest, and I shouldn't have done so, so fine, but we did it, and so now I'm here to collect, and now the borrower says, wait 1 second, that was an illegal loan, right? You can't collect. So now the lender says, okay, you're right, of course, the loan was illegal, and okay, but, and remember we had the discussion earlier in the perek of whether or not the ribbis is yotze b'dayanim, eino yotze b'dayanim. In other words, if I did collect the interest, so can he take me to court to get the interest back, yes or no? Okay. But over here now, we're going to deal with a really fundamental question, and that is the following. And that is that does the borrower have to pay any of the loan? So according to Rav Meir, so eino gove lo sekerem velo seribis. So Rav Meir says that now when the lender is coming to collect, he can't collect any part of it. And the Chachamim say, no, you can collect the principal. You can't collect the interest. Now, by Mike Miflegi, the Gemara over here says, here, I'll tell you what is the Nekudah Machlokas. Rav Meir sever kansina netera mishum yisurah, Rabbanan sever lo kansina netera mishum yisurah. And over here, the Chachamim issue a kenas, meaning on the principal itself. Why shouldn't the lender be able to collect principal? In other words, that part of the loan was legitimate. So, in explanation of Rav Meir, the Gemara tells us that Rav Meir's understanding is that the Chachamim said penalty. We're going to penalize the lender because the lender added interest, and because the adding of interest is a violation of the Torah. So, not only can you not collect interest, that part is move on me'elav, but because you behaved in such a way, a penalty, and the penalty will include you can't even collect principal. So. Tanan Hasa. Okay, good. So we have now offered, we have a very basic machlokas over here between Rameh and the Chachamim in terms of whether or not we're going to penalize the lender and prohibit him from collecting the principal. Rameh says we will, and the Chachamim says, no, we're not going to penalize him. Again, according to the Chachamim, obviously he can't collect interest, but he will be able to collect his principal. Tanan Hasa. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah. Shtarichov Mukdamim. So Psulim Mukharim Ksherim. Okay, so you predate a document, you are in direct violation, of the Torah. But in other words, that is absolutely illegal, illicit, and the shtar itself is going to be pasul. It becomes an uncollectible instrument. Mashenkin, if it's mukhar, if it's postdated, so then it becomes it's a collectible instrument. Okay, why? Right, so why? So we already pointed out, but let's say it again. And then the difference is that if you are now pre-dating, so what you're doing is you're creating a fictitious lien, right? That Sheba now, in other words, because with the loan, that loan now is going to now enable the lender to exercise it. He has a lien on the property. He can exercise that lien on the property. And that means to say that when someone buys a property, it will allow the lender to go and seize that property. And if the loan is predated, that seizure is going to be an illegal seizure. Oh. So because now it provides a fictitious lien for the lender, so therefore it is an illegal document, it's an illicit document, and you can't collect at all with that document. Even if it's mu'char, so then that's fine. Now you post-date, so if anything, by the way, what you're doing is that the lender basically is giving up. Now, when I say giving up, by the way, it's a small surrender, but still there's a surrender, because let's say it's postdated by a month. So if it's postdated by a month, that means to say that the lender is going to expose himself now for that month. He will not be able to seize a property. He's surrendered that month. Okay, but if he wants to do that, why not? In other words, he could do it. All right, so. So mukdamim amai psulim nehi delogabu mizman rishon so nigmim mizman sheni. So the Gemara says, now let me see if I can understand this. Meaning you predate a document. So what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to you're not allowed to collect from the actual date of the document. But can't you collect from the time that the document was actually used? What the Gemara over here describes as mansheni. Now, in terms of Zman Sheni, Zman Sheni just simply means when the loan actually occurs. So the date on the document does not allow for collection from the date because it was predated. But can't we actually, in other words, why not just simply use the note and collect from the actual date? Now, I know, by the way, right, I anticipate, well, how do we know what the actual date is? Meaning, right, doesn't the note tell us when the quote-unquote date of the document is? How do we know it's Zman Sheni? So you're going to have to say that they're Edim, but I admit that it's going to be unbelievably confusing. Anyway, and the Gemara effectively is going to tell us. So Amar Rav Shimon Malakish Machlokish Nuya Remeri. So Rabbi Shimon Malakish will tell you the following, and that is that, oh, you know, that Mishnah and the Chinami, meaning that Mishnah over there is just simply reflecting the Machlokis that we just learned right now, and that Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. To say it in other words, meaning what we just learned about Shtari Chov Mukdamim versus Mucharim, that's a Rav Meir position. Meaning what's Rav Meir's position? Penalize. You wrote an illicit note, we're going to penalize you. The note becomes an uncollectible instrument, period. Oh, but now, follow. Because now what we're saying is that, but according to the Chachamim and Achinami, the note is salvageable, right? A note with P&I, that's a salvageable note because you can collect the principal. A predated document, according to the Chachamim, also is salvageable. Meaning, you're right, of course, I can't collect from the actual date of the document because it's predated, but in other words, I can collect from Zman Sheni, from the time that the transaction actually occurs. Okay, that's and Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Tim Rabbanan Gzereshema Yigbe Mizman Rishon. Okay, and the Gemara and Rav Yochanan says no. There's a fundamental difference between the two cases. In a case where you have a loan where there's principal and interest, so the Chachamim will tell you no. The lender can collect his principal. Obviously, he can't collect his interest. And how do I know how to separate the two? It's very simple because it's in the note. In the note, it says. Here's the principal of the loan, and here's how much interest I'm charging you. So in the note, it's very easy to separate principal and interest. Masha Hankin over here, when we're talking about a predated document, you're really going to be able to separate the date that's written in the document versus the date that it actually occurred. You're not going to be able to do that, right? Months from now, years from now, no one's going to remember. Oh, that day in the document is a fiction. The real date is, no one's going to know that. So Rav Yochanan will tell you that, no, Rav Meir and the Chachamim regarding a note with principal and interest, they're arguing. Our case over here, not our case, but the Shtar Muktam, there's no argument over there. Okay. End of story. How gavra damashkan lepardesa lechavre? Okay, so.
When you say there was Eidim, you know, by the Zman Sheni, Eidim when? By the contract signing, by the transaction.
They were there. They were right. They were there by the transaction. That's what I assume. Okay.
But it was Eisen on the contract, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Star has to have Eisen.
Agreed. How gavra damashkan lepardesas lechavre? Okay, so a loan over here between two parties. Okay, what the borrower does is that the borrower collateralizes property against the loan, and the way that this loan was structured is that it was, let's say, for 10 years, and satisfaction of the loan will be that the lender will be able to enjoy the produce of that land for 10 years. Okay, so we've constructed such loans earlier in the Masechta, and we're doing the same thing right now. Now, here's now where the story gets off the rails. So far, so good. Nice and simple. Now, Achla Talashni. So now the lender's been sitting on this land now for 3 years, and the contract alone is that he's going to be able to enjoy the land for 10 years. And so for the first 3 years, everything's nice and smooth, and right, the lender has been harvesting and producing from the field for the first 3 years. And now after 3 years, the lender says to the borrower, okay, I'm going to squeeze you. I'm going to really squeeze you. What I would like you to do now is I would like you to sell me the property. And here are your two options. One option is that right now you just simply, you sell it to me. In terms of whether or not he's asking for fair value, let's assume he is. Okay, but in other words, that's not the point. Meaning, right, the borrower doesn't want to sell the property. But in other words, the lender's going to squeeze him. So either number one, you're going to sell me the property right now, and good, and we'll call it a day. Alternatively, if you don't do that, in other words, I know right now that we have a lender-borrower relationship. And I know that I'm holding a note right now that says that you owe me money. But again, the contracted payment for this loan is going to be my use of the land for 10 years. Here's what I'm going to do. That note, I'm going to make that note disappear. And what then I'm going to do is that I'm going to then make the claim that this land belongs to me. I have been sitting on the land now for 3 years, right? And right, I have been sitting on the land for 3 years and unchallenged, uncontested. Okay, now can we all be clear? That's not nice. Okay, it's not nice. It's not right. Okay, it's not ethical. Right, the Torah would not want people to behave in such a manner. Okay, good. We're clear about that. Now let's go back to the Gemara. So Azo Kamak Nelivno Katanvado Zavna Niale. So now the borrower is thinking to himself, I'm really stuck, I'm in a pickle. Here's what I'll do. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna bring my son in and say, look, okay, help me out over here. What I'm gonna do now is I'm gonna sell you the land. Okay, in other words, I'm gonna disavow myself the ownership of the land. So the land now will belong to you. And then, obviously I'll do so without the lender's knowledge, but I'll do that. And then what I'll then do is that I will then turn around and sell it to the lender. Obviously, when I sell it to the lender, it's not mine to sell to the lender. But in other words, if right now it seems to be that's the only way that's going to make him happy, I'll sell it to him. Okay, now. Zvini vada lo havi zvini. Okay, now, by the way, that obviously was a good strategy on the part of the borrower. Borrower now was being squeezed. He didn't want to sell the land. So what he did is that he created a legal reality in which it's not his land to sell. Okay. Now, Zvini vada lo havi zvini. Now, obviously, the sale is not going to be a sale. And so now, Zuze, the money that was transacted for that sale, that really didn't turn out to be a sale. So is it Kemilva Bishtar Dami? And Govim in Echas Meshubadim? O Dilma, Kemilva Peh Dami Ve'in Govim in Echas Meshubadim? Okay, so, now there was insurance. So there was insurance written into the sale. Now, generally speaking, insurance that's written into the sale, so that, right, so that becomes a, if you need to put a claim in on that insurance policy, so you do so, and you're obviously able to collect. And the insurance is written into the contract of sale. But over here, this contract of sale is a fictitious contract of sale. It wasn't really sold. And so now the buyer of this property, I hope you're following clearly over here. I know it's a little bit complicated, but this buyer of the property also happens to be the lender. So the buyer of the property obviously wants to get reimbursed on the money that he gave for this property. So now, although obviously he's going to be able to collect that money, but in other words, is it a contracted obligation or is it a non-contracted obligation? In other words, all of it is built on a sale that never occurred, never actually occurred. Okay. So Amar Abaye, V'lav Hainu D'Rebi Asi, D'Amar Abasi. So the Gemara says, okay, I think I know the answer. And that is that Mo D'Bishtar, Shekasro, and Nisarach L'Kaimo. The government nechas meshubadim. So, if you're mod b'shtar, in other words, if you are admitting to an obligation, in other words, not only admitting to an obligation, but you're the one who is verifying and validating. Yes, this is my shtar. Normally, a shtar needs to be mekuyam. It needs to be authenticated. It needs to be notarized. So, but if you go ahead, you now the one who owes the money, and you say, "Look, we're good. I do owe him." So, mod b'shtar. So now, enosarach lekaimo. So it doesn't require kiyum. And govim nechas meshubadim. You can collect from nechas meshubadim. So over here, so isn't this effectively the same thing? Amar le'Rav, mi dami. Hasam nasan li'katev, hachalo nitan li'kasev. So the Gemara says, no, it's not the same thing. Because over there, we're talking about a document that should have been written up. Over here, this document never should have been written up. Meaning this document of sale should not have been written up. And the lender should not have forced this sale. And so the whole thing was illegal and illicit to begin with. And so we're arguing right now that of course the money needs to go back to the buyer, But in other words, but the buyer over here is going to be able to say that this is a contractual obligation, not when the contract was illegal from the very beginning. Okay. So Yosef Miriam Vakama Lahashmaita. So Amale Ravinla Miriam Elahadam Rav Yochanan Gzereshama Yigve Mizman Rishon. So name Aloni Tanli Kasev. So the Gemara says, now let's go back. And that is that remember Rav Yochanan on the Shtar Muktam? Rav Yochanan on the Shtar Muktam says that it's an illegal note. Not only is it an illegal note, but according to Rav Yochanan's position is according to everybody, it would be an illegal note. Why? Because predated documents, eventually we're all going to get confused. We're not going to be able to separate in our heads what's the real date versus what's the written date. And so therefore Rav Yochanan says, "Gzeira shamayig mizman rishon," and therefore the note is no good. And now, name Aloni Tanli Kasev. So over here, so why don't we say that it shouldn't have been written up? So Amalei Hachi Ashta Hasam Nihi Aloni Tanli Kasev Mizman Rishon Aval Nitanli Kasev Mizman Sheni Hachaloni Tanli Kasev Klal. Again, a simple distinction to be made, meaning when you predate a note, so you writing an earlier date, that's the part of the note that shouldn't have been done, meaning the note in of itself. In other words, you have two people transacting, agreeing to the transaction. There just happens to be a detail, an important detail, but a detail that was done incorrectly. Over here, the sale never should have occurred. The lender should never have forced the borrower into the sale. So over here, it's lo nitan li kasev klal, shouldn't have been written. Elahad detanya, the Gemara says, okay, what about the following? And that is a braisa. Shevach karkos, ketzad arisha gazel, sodem mechaveru, machro lacher, ishbich arehi, yotze mitachas yado. Kushu gove, gove ezek karen, venu mechasem eshubadem, and shevach gove, menechasem enechorin. So name alo nitan li kasev. So over here, we go to that Mishnah and Gittin, and I admit, the Mishnah and Gittin is complicated, and I admit, I'm going to do this right now all too quickly. But the Mishnah in Gittin says that when I steal land from somebody and I sell it to somebody and he then puts in improvements, and now the original owner says, look, I'm really sorry. I know you purchased that field, but you purchased the stone field and I'm the owner and I am rightfully, legally allowed to take it back. And not only am I taking back my field, you put shevach into that field, you put improvements into that field, I'll take that back as well. And so now the victim is now looking to looking to get reimbursed for everything, for the sale of the field, for the shevach they put in the field. And who is he going to go after? He's going to go after the thief. Okay, good. And you heard me say this before, by the way. Good luck to him. Okay, but still, in other words, legally, lawfully, he's now going to go back to the thief. When he collects the keren, he collects minachasim eshubadim. And when he collects the shevach, that's collecting from b'nei chorim. Now, the shevach is only collected from b'nei chorim because that's a variable. In other words, we don't know how much that's going to be. So to protect buyers, you cannot collect from eshubadim. But in terms of the principle, in other words, I say principle over here, right? The purchase price, so that you collect from nechasim eshubadim. So why don't you say over here as well? Meaning, did the thief ever have any right to sell the land? Of course not. Should that sale ever have been written up? Of course not. It's lo nitan li kasev. And now we're going to be allowing the buyer to go ahead and collect based on a note that never should have been written up? No. So you're telling me that if it's something is lo nitan li kasev, it now becomes an uncollectible instrument. So the Gemara says, "Hachi hashta ilaman da'amar nichale delo nikre gazlan avi ilaman da'amar nichale delekam emnusa mefaisa ilamar mukim le'lishtare hachala avruche minei kamechaven and shtare mekayim le." And the Gemara says, "Over there, so the reason why we're going to allow him to collect from the gazlan." So the Gemara discussed it earlier in the first parak of Bava Metzia. Now, as we stand over here in 72, that was a long time ago. That was 2 months ago. But the Gemara says, see before, where we explain why it is that we allow the victim to go ahead and to collect and collect even using that note. But over here, the only reason why the sale was made is just basically get out of my face. Meaning that the borrower was basically like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. The lender's demanding I sell it to him. And he's squeezing me. And all I need him to do right now is please get out of here. Like, in other words, I need to get rid of you. Oh, so I'll go ahead and I'll move the property over to my kid, and then I'll make a sale. I'm doing all of it just so that he leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Here in our case over here, Loni Tanli Kasev, literally this note never should have been written up. And so therefore it has no validity to it whatsoever, and that's why it becomes a perfectly uncollectible instrument. Okay, I'd cut. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we start with the Mishnah.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.